the knowledge that you have, that you are wanting to impart and share with us, to bring the revelation of humanity that you have decided and determined from the foundations of the world that would be in that position or that place and relationship and fellowship with you. Father, let our minds be open.
Amen.
Let our eyes be healed, that we can see, that our ears be unstopped. My God, and if there is hardness of heart, let that hardness begin to dissipate.
Amen.
Father, that we might know the will of God, and that we might be consumed with the thought of fulfilling it and doing it to the utmost of our ability.
Amen.
So, Lord, I present myself to you today. I'm asking for your presence in my mind, in my emotions, in my desires, that these things would not be subject to humanity, Father, or the whims of the spirits that are around us, but Father, that they would be in submission to you. We are asking it for your name's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's very nice to be able to come again and to dig a little more into the Word of God. And there is a scripture that is coming to me right at the moment, and it's found in Revelations. Maybe I should read that first. Hallelujah. And it's found in Hebrews. I'm sorry, I did say Revelations, didn't I? Hebrews. And you find it in one of these chapters here. It says, whom the Lord loveth. Is it 12? Okay, yes. Hebrews 12. I have it here, thank you. And I want to go to verse 6 of Hebrews 12. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he? Is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Hallelujah. So it is a good thing to be chastened. And I have found that the Word of God is sometime, I used to use the terminology with my kids when they were growing up and they weren't doing the right thing. I told them that I was going to take them to the woodshed and apply Bible. Hallelujah. We were affirmed believers in the disciplining of our children. We weren't mean. We did not do it in anger, but we did it in the hopes that at the end of the day, they would be where they needed to be in the Lord because of it. Hallelujah. Amen. So chastening, and you know, to some degree, you can judge yourself as far as chastening is concerned in how you like to be chastened or not. By the way that you deal with your children. Praise the Lord. And we are thinking that God might deal with us in the same way, but He doesn't. He's not moved by human emotions or human sympathies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is the little aspect of chastening that is a biblical principle. And believe you me, if you do not apply it to your children in the time frame that you have to apply it, you will pay a price for it down the road, somewhere, somehow, because the Bible says you reap what you sow. Hallelujah. Let us turn back over into Revelations. There was a scripture The Lord spoke to me when we first started on Thursday evening. There were several scriptures, and I have been going through those scriptures since that time. And now I want to go into Revelations. And I want to go to the third chapter. Hallelujah. But before I do that, I'm going to draw you the tabernacle. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the tabernacle is the plan, the schematic of God. And everything that is in the Bible, you will find it in the tabernacle. And everything that is in the tabernacle, you will find it in the Bible. Hallelujah. And you know, I have just recently had another revelation of why we have the tabernacle. Praise the Lord. I thought I had most of it. And every time I think I have most of it, I find out something new. I was in Ethiopia, and we were talking to several families, parents, husbands and wives. And, you know, you're always encouraging people to read the Bible. You're always encouraging people to study the Word of God. Isn't that right? But what if they can't read? Hallelujah. What if they can't read? Hallelujah. Well, if they can't read, they can at least understand a picture. Hallelujah. And as you go through the scripture and as you identify the aspects of those pieces of furniture, and they may not necessarily be able to comprehend as far as reading is concerned, but they begin to understand the reality of what it means to be a Christian. Hallelujah. And the process of God that God requires for you and I to be able to come to a position or a place that He has designated. Hallelujah. And that's very important. Hallelujah. You were not born again to get yourself into heaven. Hallelujah. Not, that is much contrary to some of the indoctrination we have. And unfortunately, that programming remains in some way or another working in the background, because it's demonstrated in our lives as Christians, in that Christianity is not the paramount thing of importance in the aspect of what we are doing. It is an accoutrement to the aspect of the thing that we're doing. Hallelujah. And quite frankly, most of us, well, if the shoe don't fit, don't get mad at me. Most of us are part-time Christians. We're hybrids. Did you know that? And a hybrid cannot reproduce itself. I learned that in farming. A hybrid cannot reproduce itself. Hallelujah. In order for a seed to reproduce itself, it must be an heirloom variety. It must be an authenticated from the source of whatever it is to be able to reproduce itself. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, when I was in farming, this is just one of those extra things I throw out every now and then. When I was in farming, I began to do a lot of investigating concerning seeds and all of those things that go into farming. Because when we farmed, we wanted to farm in a way that was healthy and consistent with good eating, good food practices. Praise the Lord. And there wasn't much around at that time. Most of it was just, most of the farming industry is governed by the chemical companies. Hallelujah. They are the ones that provide the grants for the colleges and the universities for agricultures and all of those sort of things. But they have a motive in mind, and that motive is that they want to educate people to farm with their chemicals and their pesticides and their insecticides and all of those things that kill randomly. Praise the Lord. And also, it kills human beings after a while. Hallelujah. Don't fool yourself for one minute that you think that you can just pray over food and not harm you. That's true in some situations and some circumstances, and I am a witness to that, because there are some things that we have been some places and ate some things that were not really very good for us, and God covered us. However, if I have a greater knowledge, if I have an understanding of what is in the food that I am eating, and I eat it anyway, and I say, well, I'm asking God to bless it. That's like playing a Russian roulette. Hallelujah. I am not saying that God cannot heal food, because God does, but God heals food in special circumstances under special conditions. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I have a responsibility to whom much is given, natural knowledge as well as spiritual knowledge. To whom much is given, much is required. And the fact of the matter is, there's a consequence to not obeying some of that knowledge, or functioning according to some of that knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For most of humanity, we have substituted the medical science for God. Hallelujah. I got nothing against medical science. And all of the things it does, it has benefited me in many different situations, but I want to get beyond it.
Amen.
I want to get beyond it. I want to get above it. I don't want it above me. Hallelujah. Dictating to me what I should or should not do. But you know, medical science is based on the fear of death. Isn't that right? Huh? We have medical science because people don't want to die. Now, it's not a matter of people wanting to help or do this or do that or do that. It is a matter of the absence or the knowledge or of the reality of God in Himself. Hallelujah. So God gave us a design. God gave us a picture that is worth a thousand words. Have you ever heard that expression? My mother used to say it to me all the time. Bert, a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, this is worth 1 million and plus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't have a Bible, but you have the tabernacle, you can teach the Bible. Hallelujah. That is, if you know the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we want to understand, we want to know the relevance of God's plan for us as human beings. And it's really quite simple if you want to make it simple, or it can be complicated if you want to make it complicated. Personally, for me, in my intelligence IQ, the simpler, the better. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It is the premise on which the whole Bible is written. Every story that is in the Bible, every aspect or concept that is spoken of in the Bible, every life that has lived and has been recorded in the Bible has been on the basis of that premise, on that concept, on that thought of that God had for man in the beginning. Hallelujah. And that premise was that He would want to make man in a peculiar, particular way. I think it was Peter who said, you are a what? A peculiar people. He was not referring to your oddities as a human being or the commodities of your personal life as being something peculiar, although they could be. But he was talking about the reality of why you, as a human being, have been born and been born again and have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a destiny that has already been prescribed for you. Hallelujah. You know, there was one point in the life of Jesus Christ where his disciples were trying to dissuade him from going to the cross. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he made a very startling statement. Now you remember, Jesus Christ is the pattern son. Isn't that what we call him? Huh?
Yes.
Oh boy, we are so far from the pattern. Hallelujah. He says, when they were trying to persuade him not to go to the cross or denying the fact that he should die, he said, for this cause, for this purpose was I born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For what cause or what purpose were you born? Now, I'm not talking about that natural event. I'm not talking about that time back there so many years ago. Hallelujah. But I'm talking about the time frame of when you were born again. Hallelujah. You were not born of the will of the flesh. You're not born of the thought of man. You were not born out of these natural realms of existence, but you were born by the will of God. Now, you thought it was you that was making the decision. Hallelujah. But the reality of it is that God had a specific plan, a specific purpose, and He saw in you the capability and the potential to reach that goal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so someone came along in some circumstance, some situation, some messenger of God, hallelujah, some angel came and confronted you with the living Word of God. That living Word pierced the darkness, went down into the very depths through the degradation and all of the garbage. Praise the Lord. But brethren, when you think about it, It's like being buried in a sewer. Hallelujah. A bottomless sewer. Hallelujah. And you have all of these generations of sin and perversion and all kinds of manner of degradation and perversion. And no, I don't even have a word to prescribe the darkness of this realm in which you and I are in. And down here at the end of the succession of generation, I am born. I'm dead before I start. Hallelujah. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, chose for some reason that it was only known to Him to bring a word, and He dropped it into this hole. Hallelujah. And that word had a particular destination, because on that word was written my new name. He says, I have a new name. I don't know what it is, but it's a new name. He says, only God knows what my new name is. Hallelujah. But He says there's coming a time He's going to declare that name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, the light, what? Shineth into the darkness. It really is not descriptive of the malignancy of it. It's not descriptive of the malignancy of that darkness. But that darkness could not suppress it, could not stop it. It just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as it was coming and moving, and that, it found me. Hallelujah. Now, I'm in a condition that I'm not even capable of being able to believe. Huh? Not only I'm not capable of believing, but I kind of like the darkness. Huh? Hallelujah. I was having a good time, so they say. Hallelujah. But that light, that word of God, had a force that was greater than the darkness that was around me and which I was under. Hallelujah. As well as the darkness that was in my soul. Hallelujah. And when it penetrated the darkness of my soul, it expanded and built a platform from which I could begin to cry out to be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Have you ever, I'm sure some of you must have, when you're witnessing to somebody and you're talking to them and they're almost ready to convert? Huh? And have you ever noticed the struggle? Huh? What's going on? Hallelujah. What's going on? What is going on in the spirit, in the soul of the individual? Hallelujah. There is a fight that is going on. There is a struggle because the darkness is working in the individual as well as around the individual to suppress the will from submitting to the word of repentance. Hello? And it calls in all manner of, calls in your pride, it calls in your mind, calls in your emotions, it calls in your desires, and begins to function and work in that capacity. Hallelujah. But praise be to God, the power of it is greater than the darkness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if any of you are ever asked, if you have ever witnessed a mirror, you can tell them, I see it every morning and I get up and I look in the mirror. You are the first miracle of God as far as your life is concerned. Hallelujah. You're the first totally impossible situation that you were dead and now you're alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And brethren, you know that you were alive and you knew that you were dead. The moment you become alive, you knew that you were dead. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that, but I'm still down here in this hole. And now the Spirit of God has to pull me up out of it. Hallelujah. But there are some things that I have to do. There are some positions or places that I have to come to. Some conclusions that I have to come to. Hallelujah. When I am born again, and that is represented by the brazen altar. When I am born again, I am translated. I am translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But the reality of that kingdom is not so prevalent. It's not so obvious. It's not so much in that position or in that place of manifestation. Because it's not only the darkness around me, but the darkness that is inside of me. Hallelujah. So God had to design some manner, some means by which that darkness could be eliminated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to take care of the darkness around you, you have to take care of the darkness inside of you. If you don't take care of the darkness inside of you, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you don't take care of the darkness inside of you, you will never be successful in taking care of the darkness that is around you. Hallelujah. You will always compromise. You will always compromise. In some manner, some way, you will always compromise. Because there is a compatibility within our soul for that darkness. Not only is there a compatibility, but there is something of a desire that we have that we want to have that darkness for some manner of comfort or enjoyment or some other aspect of soulish satisfaction. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God brings us, gives us an opportunity. Hallelujah. Gives us an opportunity. Now, the only means by which this man, hallelujah, can be regenerated and the new man lived is that this man has to die. Hallelujah. When I first came into this message 30-some years ago, 40 years ago, I don't know how long it's been. Hallelujah. We didn't call it the kingdom message. We didn't call it the sons of God. We called it death to self. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that was seemed a little bit too harsh. It doesn't draw a lot of people. You start talking about death to self, they think maybe you're suicidal or something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we used to call it what for what it was. We are making a covenant of death.
Yes, amen.
Huh? Oh, yes, we are making a covenant with death. We are saying, yes, I am going to follow in your footsteps. Huh? We go back to the pattern son. Hallelujah. We go back to the pattern son. Brethren, we must experientially know the reality of dying to self.
Yes, sir.
You cannot take it on a metaphorical level. I don't really have the English language to a metaphysical level. You just can't accept it as a spiritual aspect and not participate in it with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it says, as we in Romans chapter 6, when it says we are buried what? With him in
baptism.
Into what? His death. Oh, we can just spiritualize that, right? Huh? Hallelujah. We can just spiritualize that. No, we have to have a set of circumstances. We have a problem with anger. We have a problem with lust. We have a problem with being impulsive. We have a problem with depression. We have a problem with this and a problem with that and a problem with this. We have to be able to be in those circumstances and not under the control of it.
Yes.
That's what he prayed in John chapter 17. He says, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. I pray that thou not take them out of the world, but that you keep the world from getting or capturing them.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there's no way that you and I can do that unless we are participating and know the reality of the covenant that we have made. Now, brethren, this is not only a covenant as unto death and resurrection, of course, but it is also a position of espousalship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God does not look at you as a church. God looks at you as a prospective bride.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And basically, when you become born again, male or female, you become, as it were, a handmaid of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. We have to be handmaids, men as well as women. Men have to be handmaids. Hallelujah. Because they have to be able to receive the seed of life. They have to be able to be overshadowed by the Spirit of God in order to bring forth that life inside of their soul to bring forth the revelation of Christ in man.
Amen.
And so we have this concept theoretically, or we have it religiously. Hallelujah. I want to, when you take a prominent individual who is living in a position of prosperity and he has a lot of different things around him that he's enjoying, has family, has a house, he has a good job, he has respect in the community, but all of a sudden he dies. Is any of that stuff of any value? Is it of any worth? And quite frankly, how long does anyone remember that individual? Well, it depends on your closeness of relationship, I suppose. But if you're not, if you don't have a close relationship, it isn't too long down the road that he's completely gone out of your mind even. Hello? When we call death to self, why do we want to relegate it to a different experience? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read to you a little scripture. That scripture is found. This scripture is found in Genesis. Hallelujah. And it is a commission that God gave to Adam, and in giving it to Adam and to Eve, He gave it to humanity.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It says here, verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. Now, brethren, it isn't like you saying, God bless you, or me saying, God bless you. Well, it should be, but it's not. When God blesses, there is something that is in God that is an entity or a part of His, the fabric of what He's made out of. And He takes that something, energy, let's call it energy, let's call it life, and He imparts it. He imparts it. He takes it out of Himself, pulls it out of Himself, and He pushes it into you. Hallelujah. So, in the aspect of being blessed by God, means that God imparts an authority. God imparts a strength, an ability, a potential that has the ability to be expanded. There's a scripture in Ephesians. You can just put your finger right there for a minute. And I'm going to go over here to read it to you. It says here in Ephesians. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says here in Ephesians, fourth chapter. I think it's the fourth, yes. To every man. Fourth chapter, seventh verse. Seven is the number of perfection. It says, unto every man, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Woo! Come on. Did you read that? Come on. Did you hear it? Is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ has no measure. The measure of Christ is infinitesimal. Is that the right word? It's infinitesimal. Hallelujah. He says, if every man, so when you got God, when the blood was given to you, there came with it the provision that was God had made in the beginning with them, hallelujah, to fulfill and to do what He was now going to commission them to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have for years been a victim of my circumstances. My circumstances have always dictated to me which way I go, how I go, what I do, what I don't do. Hallelujah. But in the beginning, and in the mind of God, that was not what was in His heart, and that was not what He wanted by the end of the day. He wanted the totality of what it was, He said in verse 26, when He says, I will create them in My image and in My likeness. Come on! Say amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about you.
Amen.
I'm talking about what it is that God is offering you today, tomorrow, hallelujah, the day after tomorrow, hallelujah, and in the times that are to come when trouble comes down on you like a flood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we do not now begin to exercise our authority, hallelujah, in the small incremental situations that we are involved in, we will not exercise the authority in those tsunami things. Hallelujah. Those tsunami things will be so overwhelming and so devastating and so atrociously awful that we will buckle. Hallelujah. We will buckle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are not supposed to be victims of our circumstances.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are supposed to be in control of them. Let me read it. Hallelujah. Now remember, every one of us has, Ephesians said, the page turn. Ephesians said, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Let me read one more scripture, if I may, in that line. Turn with me over to Romans. Hallelujah. Romans, the sixth chapter. Hallelujah. It says, what shall we say then? First one, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hallelujah. So there is a grace that is apportioned to us in the midst of every situation, every set of circumstances that come to overwhelm us, that come to destroy us, that come to work against the gift or the measure of Christ that is in us. You see, it is not you that the devil is interested in. Unfortunately, maybe that doesn't do too much for your ego. It's not you the devil is in. It is what is inside of you. It's what is inside of you. That is the danger. That is the flashpoint of which he is trying to avert. He knows that it's there and he knows the potential of it. And he has to do everything he can do to make sure you don't know about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord once spoke to me in a situation. He says, my people, they are easily diverted and they are easily subverted. You have to be diverted to be subverted. Hello? And diverted, hallelujah, diverted is a position of choice that you and I have to make as to whether we are not going to be diverted or we're not, or we will be diverted. We have to make it. We have to make it. And the devil has to arrange the circumstances by which we will agree with him to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So we when we divert, then the devil has the authority, the power to subvert. He has the right to subvert. To whom you yield your members? Servants to obey. What do you do? What happens? You become the servant of that thing that you are submitting to. That's what happened to Adam. Do you know why they call the devil the prince of the air? He wasn't a prince, he was an angel. Do you know why they called him the prince of the air? Huh? Because he subjected the prince who was Adam, who was the son of God.
Yes.
Adam was the prince.
Hallelujah.
Adam was the prince. And by matter of conquest, devils took and stepped into Adam's shoes and he became the prince. So therefore, he now has the position of authority over man, and he utilizes the commission that was given to man, and using man in his position of of death and obedience to his will to work his mischief. Loose them. Loose them. We have to understand the mechanics of what it means to just get saved. Hallelujah. Because it is not a matter of you going to heaven. It is a matter of God redeeming. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the aspect of what happened back there in the garden. Hallelujah. That is the responsibility that is upon our shoulders. Hello? Somebody was quoting it or talking about it earlier. I don't know if it was in a meeting somewhere or in our conversations. But they were talking about... They were talking about the aspect of conquest and redeeming the time. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, that's what it is. Praise you. They without us cannot be made perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. You know they're going to hold you and I responsible for their lack of perfection? Did you know that? They're going to hold you and I responsible. So you see, when I got born again, and I covenanted with God to go all the way. Hallelujah. I'm going to go with God from here. Praise God. I'm going to go for God from here all the way in here. That's what I'm saying. And if you were to turn this like this, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes,
huh?
Yes.
This is the thread that pulls me out of it.
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Huh? You know, like that old crank bucket on the well?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Huh? You got God on the end of the crank. He's doing everything he can possibly do to pull us up and pull us up out of this position, out of this place, out of this dirty grave. It says, even if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me.
Amen.
He says, neither will I allow my Holy One to see corruption.
Amen.
But I have to cooperate with him in order for it to happen.
Amen.
Hello? I am supposed to be working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Go look the words up. It's the connotation of extreme fright. Hallelujah. That's how we are supposed to be working out our salvation. Do you think, examining your lifestyle, examining the things you're involved in, examining the aspects of what's going on around you, are you in fear and trembling? I can say no. I might be discouraged. I might be frustrated. I might be this. I might be that. But fear and trembling? Come on. Huh? Hallelujah. Because I do not have the essence of the reality of my jeopardy. Huh? Hallelujah. But when it talks about the Holy Place Church, and it talks about those who are going on to perfection, isn't that also in Hebrews? Where is it? Is it 6? I thought it was, but I'm not sure. Hebrews 6. Huh? Hebrews 6. Huh?
Yes.
What is it? Yes, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. Yes, let us go on to perfection. Hallelujah. That wasn't really the one I wanted. I think it's in Galatians maybe. It talks about we are not of them that turn back unto perdition. Huh? Hebrews? All right, let's read it. Hebrews 10.
39. Or
you can read 38. Yes, let's read 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who turn back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. When you talk about the saving of the soul, it's not here, it's here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's not here. Do you hear me? It's not here.
Yes.
It's not here. We think it's here. It's not here. It's here. Hallelujah. And unless the job is completed, unless the job is done, and up until this point, right here, right there, hallelujah. Up to this point, right here, where there is this little altar that is called the golden altar of incense, it is only when we come to that place and when we fulfill the obligation of that piece of furniture is our salvation assured.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like this picture. I want to turn, because it really does graphically illustrate, the thought. Huh? Because here you have, praise God, here you have this hole, this bottomless pit, huh? And you and I down here, well, me down here, hallelujah. But I find that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, hallelujah, when I become born again, hallelujah. Huh? Praise God. Huh? Isn't that pretty graphic? Huh? Hallelujah. We have the pieces of furniture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have the line of God that is pulling us out of the pit. Hallelujah. And he says, we are not of them, huh, that turn back to perdition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Or you can say, oh, woe is me too, as far as that goes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are given a commission here in Genesis. I want to go to that commission. We are given a commission. And the commission is, hallelujah, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, hallelujah, be multiplying. Now, brethren, this is prior to the fall. Things were on a different level, a different realm, a different principle of operation. Hallelujah. Huh. Praise the Lord. And some of that fruitfulness is given evidence in Luke chapter 1 when it says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Leave it at that. Hallelujah. God blessed them and said, be unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's two different aspects there, you know. And replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. The commandment and the position of authority that God released and gave to them, imparted to them, instilled in them, installed in them, how do you want to put it? Hallelujah. Was absolute. He turned everything that he had created over to the hands of Adam. Hallelujah. to facilitate and do and to move in accordance to the will of God. Hallelujah. And Adam was in a position and a place of communion with God. You see, God didn't just lay it all out at one time. There was a time frame that was involved in Adam's development. He was growing from infancy to adulthood. Hallelujah. And prior to the fact of being able to come to that point, the devil intervened and diverted him. Hallelujah. So we have this commission, we have this authority given to us. Now the authority that is given to us for a particular purpose, a particular reason that is outside of our human desire. Hallelujah. Outside of our human thinking. That purpose and that commission was given to them on the basis of the destiny that God had ascribed to them to become as he is. Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are born again for one express purpose, and that express purpose is to be a son.
Oh, yes.
Huh? Hallelujah. Not just a son, but a corporate. Huh? Corporate son. It's a son of a great, it's a higher level of an individual position of sonship. It is a higher position and a place of a manifestation of a God that is so immense, it takes the corporacy of his plan to bring the reality of his essence in a visible form. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, I look up at the heavens, and when I look up at the heavens, I see God. Hallelujah. And you know, I don't know. I'm not an astronomer. I'm not well versed in it. But they say that these realms of heaven are so vast and so beyond your scope of comprehension that it's almost impossible for your human mind to really comprehend it and to bring it into a place of understanding. They take our galaxy and put it in another dimension. And another dimension, and another dimension, and another dimension, and that galaxy, you can't even see it. That's God. It says, the heavens declare my glory. Come on, it's like you look up in the heavens, and and they call it heavens. Is that by accident? Huh? Is that just by accident? You look up at heaven and you really, really, really see eternity. You're seeing one little segment of eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the vastness of it and it is beyond measurement. Hello? And there's another scripture that says he orders the heavens. Huh? He's in control of the heavens. Everything about heaven is something that he is orchestrating because it's his position, it's his place, and it declares the essence of his being.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Romans says that everything that is created, everything that is created, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is no, let's go back up. I'm in chapter 1. It says, for I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in him, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Next time you look up into heaven, just begin to thank God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I remember one time we were here many, many years ago, and we were out in Ikbe. At that point in time, there was just a little kind of white spot in the road. And out there from every city, out there from all those lights and everything, and it was one of the darkest places I have ever been in my life. Hallelujah. But when you could look up on the heavens on a clear night, hallelujah, I have never seen a display of the heavenly bodies as I was seeing it, and so bright, so clear, so concise. There was no smog, there was no this or that, there was no lights from different cities reflecting up and hiding the glory of. You could just see the vastness of it. Hallelujah. And you would look up into it, and it would almost like it would draw you up and want to swallow you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is, when we talk about God, we're talking about the immensity and the capacity of what he is that is beyond our ability to comprehend. And God says he has prepared for man that which man can't even conceive or think about. Loose!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And here we are down here in our little positions of circumstances, squabbling around, trying to eke out a living and fighting and doing all of these different things as though we were mere human beings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't have the reality of what it is, of who and what God is. We don't have the reality of who and what we are in God. Huh? We don't have that reality. Hallelujah. Because we do not have the time to spend with God. We do not take the effort that is required to put everything aside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I was in a meeting. I was in a meeting several years ago. And it was the Spirit of God was moving. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God was moving, and the praise and the worship was out of this world. It was coming up, and people were getting caught up in the Spirit and like trees in the wind, you know? Just swaying in the Lord and blessing the name of the Lord and praising and worship. And all of a sudden I hear this, beep, 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 beep. And I'm thinking, God, are you sending me Morse code or something? Huh? And I keep hearing it. I keep hearing it. And I'm looking, I open my eyes and I begin to look around because I said, that's not a heavenly sound. And I'm looking around and I happen to turn around and there's this woman on her phone and she's texting. God is everywhere around her. God is moving in the midst of the situation. People are getting delivered. People are getting saved. And the woman is typing on her phone and she's completely oblivious. Completely oblivious of the circumstances of the situation. Hallelujah. Come on. Easily diverted. Easily subverted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And let us go back over here. Hallelujah. I want to go over here into Revelations. I want to go here to chapter 3. Hallelujah. Now, this is the fifth station. This is the fifth church. This is the fifth station, as far as I am concerned. This is the golden altar of incense. You see, all of this out here is designed to make us ready for this right here. We have the laver. We have the lampstand. We have the table of showbread. All of these aspects of furniture have a particular job to do. And that job is to deal with the old nature and to bring out and accentuate the new birth. Hallelujah. That's what it's supposed to do. It's to enhance your new position of life and to decrease the aspect of that old Adam nature. Hallelujah. And as we submit to the process, we come to baptism. Brethren, baptism is a ratification of the agreement that we have said we will go all the way. It's a ratification of the proposal that we have been given to us to be espoused as unto the Lord. Hello? You know, we need to know, we need to look into the Jewish law concerning the spousalship. Do you know that if a woman was caught in a compromising situation and she was espoused to her to a man, that man could have the authority and the liberty to have her put to death? Hello? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We might be saying, well, if she's not working according to the rules, then she has she should be punished for it. Come on, brethren. Come on. Do you know that God is looking at you as an espoused virgin to be married to Him? Hallelujah. He doesn't look at you as a brother in the Lord. As humanity out there, He looks at you as a handmaid who has been dedicated and consecrated and selected to be His bride, to be His wife.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if anything comes between you and Him, it is considered adultery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, come on. Let me read a verse to you. Go to Jeremiah 31. Go to Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a what? I was a husband. Hallelujah. Now the new covenant that He's making on the basis of the offering of Jesus Christ as that offering for sin, do you think that His intentions are any different concerning you and I than it was with Israel? Huh? Hallelujah. And there is a definition between Israel and Judah. Hallelujah. You can look at Israel as the general congregation and Judah as the tribe that was to produce Christ. Out of Judah was to come Christ. So it is those individuals who have a particular thought and a particular message and a particular burden to become sons of God.
Right.
You know, some people are satisfied without here. Some people don't want any more than that. That's fine. Huh? That's God's business. That's not my business. It's not my business. Hallelujah. My business is this right here. This is where I want to end up at the end of the day.
Amen.
I want to end up here at the end of the day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 And if I don't have the ability to do that in a natural arena, I want to know that the time of my going is on the basis of God saying a job well done. Hallelujah. Not because of circumstances and situation was I taken out of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But in the timing and the favor of God, He saw fit to do something other than what it was I desired to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, "I was, even though I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God. He starts with his finger indelibly writing on the character fabric of our being. Hallelujah. He has to change something on the inside. He has to form and complete something on the inside for a visible manifestation on the outside. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back over here to Revelation. Hallelujah. Revelation 3, chapter 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name, that thou livest and thou art dead. Hallelujah. Brethren, this message to the church of Sardis is a message to the Holy Place Church. And there is a possibility and the potential that I fit into the criteria of thinking that I'm alive, but I'm dead. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God is given for one reason, and that is the reason I must adhere to. I must change. I must change. I have the authority to change. I have the mind that is capable of changing.
Amen.
Of making the decision to change. I have an emotions that can be invoked to facilitate the change. Hallelujah. You know, one day we were in London, I think it was, and Brother Jajoki was drawing his drawing on the tape of the soul, and he was, you know how he draws. It's all kind of together there. And he had the picture of the soul, and I don't exactly remember just exactly how it was, but you had the mind here, you had the emotions. Huh? This was the mind. Huh? This was the desires. Huh? And down here was the will. Huh? And then he had this something like this, going like this. I don't know. It was kind of like that. Hallelujah. But when I looked at it, I didn't see his drawing. I saw like it was, well, I'm not a drawer, but I saw like the wings of an eagle. Huh? This was the head of the eagle, right? And down to the will, like the feet of the eagle, and it had the body. Huh? So, as the mind is set, Bill Britton wrote a book years ago called Eagle Faint, Arise. Huh? Hallelujah. Are you familiar with the book?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It was a very good book. Eagle Saints Arise. So as our minds are settled on God, if our minds are inquiring and pressing for the mystery of God, and the mystery of God as it is to be laid out for us as individuals, if our mind is fixed, is our mind fixed? No, it's not fixed. Our mind is diverted and subverted and moving this way, that way, that we got this, we got that, we got all the responsibilities, and our phones are going off, and our text messages are coming in, and our emails are going in and coming out. Hallelujah. But if our minds are fixed, you know, there is an excitement that begins to build in our soul as God begins to reveal himself in us. Hallelujah. You know, I can be in a meeting and the Spirit of God is just so absolutely so wonderful. Your mind is up there in somewhere in the heavenlies, and it's like you're seeing something in the Spirit, and your emotions get invoked in it and involved in it, and it's like wings.
Yeah.
And your desire, oh God, I need to know you more. I need to know you greater. I need to be in that position. I need to be in that place of a relationship. Like wings, like this, you know, like this, going out. And it gets you higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. But sometimes our bodies are tethered to the earth. They're tethered. They're tethered. Our eyes. Huh? Our senses, a smell, our senses of touch, feelings, hallelujah, our hearing, oh my God, we're tethered. You know, Christian music, brethren, please forgive me. Christian music should lift the soul.
Yes.
Not jerk the body.
Yes.
And you know, I'm a little surprised because when I first came to Africa, people were aware of how music is used to call spirits, and I'm somewhat surprised, not at the church out there, but at the church, the Holy Place Church, knowing the reality of that music, and yet that music is the music they are listening to that just puts the name of Jesus and God in it, or talks about salvation or something. Hallelujah. It surprises me. It really does. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we should have the awareness that music in particular, and especially drums, they are utilized in a manner or fashion to call spirits. To call spirits. Hallelujah. And then we wonder why in our praise we don't go anywhere. Huh? And the church, the Holy Place Church, should not be using contemporary Christian music.
Yes, sir.
They shouldn't be. They should be utilizing the Spirit of God to make their own music.
Yes.
Make music that's holy. Make music that's pure. Make music that will lift your heart. Lift your soul. You know, music is very instrumental in prophecy. Do you know that?
Yes.
The purer the music, the greater the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that prophecy is the testimony of what? What does it say? It's the testimony of Jesus, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if our music is not facilitating an environment that is conducive to His presence, hallelujah. We should be motivated not by tradition in our thinking concerning music or any of these other aspects of how they are working in our life. Huh? Hallelujah. You know what we're like? We come into a meeting and the Spirit of God begins to move and praise, and the Word of God is so absolutely wonderful and lifting us up higher and higher and higher. It's like these things are like bungee cords. We get up there so high, but we can't get any higher. Huh? And then we leave the meeting and the bungee cords retract. And we find ourselves down back into the same hole that we were in before we went into the meeting. Why? Because we are not willing to cut them. We're not willing to be motivated by the Spirit to cut them. Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Hallelujah. We not only need to make a covenant with our eyes, we need to make a covenant with our nose. My God. I'm in an airport, I'm walking down the aisle, and I go past this perfume shop, and they have all of this perverted displays. And the perfume, desire.
Obsession.
How about naked? Come on. Hallelujah. You know, I believe in personal hygiene, but that has nothing to do with it. Hello? That has nothing to do with it. Our nose drags us down. Hallelujah. And if you don't think there's not a spirit attached to those things, you're mistaken. If you don't think that splashing, that buying it, you take your money, it's your blood. Money is blood. Because you work for the sweat of your brow to get it. Hallelujah. And you purchase it. Just rob God. Not only have you robbed God, but you've taken what's been given to God and spend it on something, and you accept the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then we have these other aspects. There's five senses. I missed one somewhere.
Taste.
Oh, yes. Taste. Hallelujah. You know, five is the number of ministry. It's a ministry of malignant darkness. Brethren, it wants to generate more darkness. You are a darkness or a light generator. That's what you and I are. In the spiritual realm, we generate light or we generate darkness. The devil can't generate light. The general can't generate darkness. You're the only only instrument capable of generating a quality of darkness or a quality of light. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says that darkness was on the earth and gross darkness. No, let's read it. And let's get it right. What is it? Isaiah 61. 60. It says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." If which is the darker? It's the darkness in the people. It's the darkness in the people that is generating the darkness in the land. And the darkness in the land feeds back. It feeds back to make the gross darkness grosser. Hallelujah. And brethren, you have to look at your lifestyles. You have to examine the position of living that you are in and what is happening in those situations. Have you ever sat down and calculated how much time you spend with God and how much time you spend within the world? Do it. Do it for a week. Do it for a day. How much time do you spend with God and how much time do you spend in the world? You might be a little surprised. Hallelujah. If you spend at least 10%, I would be surprised. If 10% of your time, hello, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you know, you have to take in the time you're sleeping too. What's happening while you're sleeping? Hallelujah. Are you still working in the Spirit? You need to be. You should be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. If you go to sleep and stop praying, you're ceasing to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So here we are, back in Romans, the Revelation. Hallelujah. He says, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Hallelujah. I don't want to be alive but dead. Hallelujah. I want to be among the few. Here, it goes down here. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. You know what that really sounds like to me? A hospice. You want to be employer of a hospice? It says, listen, what it says. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain and that are ready to die. What do they do in a hospice? Huh? They plan to die and they take care of you, preparing you to die. Do you want to be a hospice worker?
No, sir.
Is that where you want to be in God's economy? Working in a hospice? Hello? Hallelujah. Not I. That's not where I want to be. But if I don't want to be there, I have to do something about my condition. I first have to go to God and say, God, I need you to reveal me as you see me.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, God will come to you and he will put his finger right on every aspect of that character that is contrary to him. Hallelujah. 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 And when he reveals it, am I going to fight it? And you know, he might bring it to me in a form and a fashion that I do not like. Yeah? Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's like the pot calling the kettle black. Hello? Huh? Both of them are blackened by the fire, but the pot calls the fire, the kettle black. Huh? Hallelujah. He says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Hallelujah. So there it isn't that perfection is by virtue of my thought. It is that perfection is by virtue of God's desire. Hallelujah. We read it a while ago in Hebrews 6. He says, not laying against the foundations of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, let us go on unto perfection. Hallelujah. So perfection is a position or a place or a goal that we need to be striving to achieve here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. So he's saying all of these things are very possibly true and are working, but there's a remedy for it. There's a position of deliverance that is being offered to us. There is an opportunity that God is giving at this point in time by which we might fix the problem. Hallelujah. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Brethren, which group... What segment of the church do you want to be in? Where is it that you desire to end up at the end of the day? That is really the question. And if you decide you want to be here, what are you going to do out here concerning all of it? God bless you.
Yes. Amen. I thought we asked a question.
Yes.
You made a comment about the sense that they will not be made perfect without us.
That's what the scripture says, yes.
Yeah.
So, can you throw more light on this? In what context that is, and the consequence of that? Assuming, I believe that we will be perfected.
You believe?
I believe that they will be perfected, and we will be perfected. But why is that statement?
Because you...
So, if there is no us, there is no them. There's perfection.
If there is no...
If there is no us, there is no sense of old. There is no them in terms of perfection. I want to understand the context in which the scripture is describing that and the consequence of that.
Well, the fact of the matter is that you cannot be made perfect unless you overcome the body.
What about the sense that have been perfect?
That's why they need us. They are no longer in the form by which they can be tempted, are pushed, are pulled in any direction, because basically it is by the virtue of our body and the access that the world around us has to us that brings the consequences of sin and our submission to it.
Is that our position if we die, for instance, the living sense? Are we perfected by them as well?
Perfected by who?
Assuming in our own dispensation that we die and pass on.
Yes.
And the saints are still living.
Yes.
Is our perfection dependent on them as well?
Yes. That's what the scripture says. That they, and if we become a part of the they, cannot be made perfect without them, which is those that are yet living. You have to overcome this body. This body is in an adulterous relationship with the devil and the world around it.
I understand that, but I'm trying to draw a relationship between the living sense and the dead sense. My thinking is that working as the body of Christ, whether dead or living, is all in the body. So the body will be perfected. Whether the part of the body that is dead and the part of the body that is living. So both are one. That is the way I'm thinking, but I want to know if my thought is correct.
The Bible says there's no
defense
actually.
Does it mean that a person without being perfected?
You need the body. So when you is the body, in terms of your active overcoming, so your perfection then has to be transmitted. You understand? That someone overcomes on your behalf. So your victory, because it will only come by the victory of the person in the body. Who is actively
overcoming? The reason I'm asking that and the consequence of that, because I'm thinking the implication of that is that you die and you are not perfect. So if one dies and he's not perfect and that, and his perfection is dependent on the living sense to perfect them, then how do we draw the conclusion in terms of?
Let us look at it in this. There is a growth and development of the character or the nature of God in an individual. And that nature of God and that character matures by the virtue of it overcoming. Now, a person could die in the imperfected state in that nature has not yet come to the fullness potential and to the maturity of which has been designated by God. Okay? So you're not talking about a nature in the imperfection as far as sin is concerned. You're talking about a nature that is not fully yet developed to a point of where it is in God's mind perfect. So that nature is something that nature is developed by individuals that are here on the earth and having to overcome the earth of their body as well as the world around them. And as they overcome, those that are in heavenly places begin to see the principle by which it is working. And as they see that principle, there is a growth in development in that nature that is moving toward perfection. So, but you have to have a body in order to be overcome perfection. And the fact of the matter is, there will be a people. Now, whether I'm a part of that people or not, there will be a people who overcome to the total extent of where they will become perfect in this realm.
Amen.
They will be perfect in this realm. When they come to perfection in this realm, the saints in the realm of heaven will be also come to a point of perfection.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's in Corinthians when it says that we're we shall all be changed.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, so some of us won't die, some will, but we all shall. Yeah. And so, but we all shall be changed.
Amen.
So.
In Ephesians, where it says that till we all come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, and then the church in the heaven and the church on earth. That's why we have to strive to be part of that body of Christ on earth. Because when we are part of that body of Christ on earth, the saints that have gone ahead are part of that body. And we that are striving on earth that are part of that body are one.
The scripture says, where the tree falls, and the level of victory you have attained in the world, by the time you die, is where you will meet.